I shared with them earlier, my wife and I had a wonderful vacation on Cape Cod. We did lots of stuff. Two of our daughters joined us. It was just a great, great couple of weeks. But we went to church while we were there in a wonderful little Assemblies of God church that we have been to previously. And they, their worship leader was backed up by Alexa. And it was great. The worship leader would get to say, "Alexa, play," and Alexa would never missed a cue, and you know, she just jumped right in. When the pastor preached and was done and he wanted to close with a hymn, he said, "Alexa, play," and there she was right there. But I like our worship team, you know? So, bless the Lord. Well, today we're going to pick up again talking about faith. Now, to talk about faith today, I want us to consider genealogy just a little bit. Doesn't that sound exciting? Yeah. In Hebrews 11 being the faith chapter, we read there, "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." And then follows what is called the Faith Hall of Fame. Picking up in verse 5, we read, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." We meet Enoch and Noah in Genesis chapter 5, along with a few other characters. When you look at that passage, you find that Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was the father of Lamech. Lamech is only known because he had a son named Noah. And Noah built a boat. Not just any boat, but he built the ark. We're going to focus today on Enoch, Methuselah, and then Noah. Basically, three guys in a boat. Enoch is an interesting character. We don't know a whole lot about him, but he's one of the two men in all of Scripture who never died. Both Enoch and Elijah were caught up to heaven alive. What a transition that must have been. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death." By faith, Enoch walked so closely with God that God at one point just decided to keep him. I mean, how cool is that? That's my goal. I want you to know. If some Sunday all of a sudden I'm not there anymore, this is my goal. Wouldn't that be neat, where if that was still randomly happening today? Wait, where did Greg go? God just took him. Imagine it caused a stir. Enoch walked with God, and he walked so closely with God during a time, this was before the flood, when violence and corruption were prevalent, permeated society. Only a small remnant believed, kind of like today. Enoch was also a prophet. He's mentioned in the New Testament in Jude, little book of Jude in verse 14, where we see there that the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men. That's what Jude is writing. Now, these men that Jude is referring to were false teachers who were teaching, listen, we're saved by grace. So it really doesn't matter what you do. Just do your thing. You'll be fine. It sounds a little bit like today. What Enoch prophesied then was actually for New Testament times. Behold, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, in one verse, that word ungodly is used four times. Very noticeably repetitive. That word ungodly is used in reference, the definition, one who actively practices the opposite of what the fear of God demands. Enoch prophesied not only to his own generation, but way ahead of his time to ours as well. But I believe, most importantly, Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, and indeed to all believers of all times, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. As we make our way through this life, we should make it our goal as believers to be God pleasers, like Enoch. When we come to a fork in the road, on our vacation, once you turned off to onto the road where we had rented a cottage, you turned off Route 6 and drove about 100 feet, and there was a fork in the road. Literally, the people who lived there had erected about a 6-foot-high silver fork. And so the direction said, well, at the fork in the road, turn left. And so we did anyways. With every decision we face, with every course we have to choose, with every fork in the road, the question that ought to undergird our actions should be, does this please God? What is it that pleases God as I move forward in my life? Now, Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah is most known because of how long he lived, 969 years. Imagine the Social Security checks that he collected. Now, it's tough to translate the meaning of that name, Methuselah. But many scholars think that that name means literally, when he dies, a sending forth. Or, when he's dead, it will come. Now, what is it that will be sent forth? What is it that will come? The flood. The flood. As different scholars work the timing and the generations and that, it is believed by many that Methuselah died in the year of the flood. He was a living hourglass. When the sand ran out, when his life ended, the flood came. In his life, he was a living testimony of the coming judgment. He was a man of righteousness. But he was also a testimony of God's patience, a testimony that God is slow to anger. After all, he lived nearly 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9 says this, don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Methuselah, Genesis tells us, had a son named Lamech. And as I mentioned, Lamech is important because he had a son named Noah. In Genesis 6, we read starting in verse 9 that this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God, just like Enoch. But while God took Enoch out, God called Noah to stay. He walked with God. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. And then God gave very specific directions regarding this ark, this boat. Noah received a word from God, a big word. Because he walked with God, Noah knew God and trusted him. And so because of that, by faith, he embraced the word. And more than that, he acted upon it. He was not just a hearer of the word, he was a doer of the word as well. In one of the greatest examples of obedient faith, Noah labored on building this ark for over 100 years. In spite of what you may have seen on that terrible Russell Crowe movie, Noah, the angels didn't help him. Don't go see that movie now. It will make you crazy. In a corrupt and unbelieving world, Noah stayed faithful. Faithful to the word of God. And he built a boat. He built a huge boat. A boat that carried his family and some of every type of animal. Now, while that ark may not have provided the greatest of comfort, it was better than what was going on outside. So we also see here that God is not bound to doing the same thing in the same way all the time. After all, God is God, and he is sovereign, and there is a great variety in God. That's important to learn. You see, there was a flood coming. Not just a little flood, not just a local flood. A destructive global flood. Enoch was taken up to heaven alive. Methuselah lived as that living hourglass, went finally to heaven, and then the flood came. Noah built the ark and went through the flood. Each of them, these men lived a life that was a testimony of not only their own faith and faithfulness, but the faithfulness of God. You see, sometimes God will move a mountain. Sometimes he'll take us around the mountain. And at other times, he'll take us over the mountain. Whichever way God chooses for us, like Enoch, we need to be God pleasers who walk with God. Like Methuselah, we're called to be living testimonies of God's righteousness and mercy. We have been made to be light and salt in this world. And like Noah, we are to walk in faith, obedience, and perseverance, letting the life that we live speak to our generation. When we look at the tasks that God sometimes gives his people, When we simply look at the call to walk as God pleasers, what comes upon us is the thought, well, we're just not up to that. I can't measure up to that. The bad news is, no, you can't. The good news is God knows that we can, and He provides the grace and the mercy and the strength to walk in what He calls His people to do. He never gives a command, a commission, or a call, but that He doesn't supply the grace to fulfill it. This walk that we're in, this walk with God, like the walk of Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah, we need faith to hear what God is saying. We need faith to embrace what God is saying. We need faith to do what God is saying. And we need faith to trust that God will enable us and be with us every step of the way. Just like Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah. Three guys, faith, and a boat. Amen. Let's stand and bless the Lord.
I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all.